Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good morning. Good day. Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about
the real issues that men face on a daily basis.
Amazing how my voice just changed. I had to clear it out there just a moment. You did that well.
Thanks.
Is that the end of it?
Well, no, there's more, but I figured you'd pick up from that point.
It's all about being transparent.
Biblically honest.
Brutally honest.
Brutally honest. Biblically sound.
Biblically honest. Let's be biblically honest.
Brutally biblical. Brutally.
Okay. The guys listening to going, okay, come on, get on with it. I want to hear about this. Okay. Well, hey, welcome to the show. In the studio today.
Excuse me. Here we go.
He's not a FedEx driver. He's a UPS driver.
Yep.
And he's in the studio with me today. Eric is in the house.
The man in brown. Is that a crowd noise?
No, that's Darth Vader.
I don't know why you're doing that. Hey, it's good to be here, Raul. Oh, what a way to start off the show.
Yes, oh my goodness. Didn't know that all of that was coming. But anyway, got to have a little bit of laughter and enjoyment in life because this is the day that the Lord has given us. We are rejoicing and we're glad in it, right?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for this new day.
We have a topic today that some of you might think is controversial, but it's really not. But we're going to talk about it. It's self-forgiveness. Is it really true that we need to forgive ourselves? Anyway, we'll talk about that. That's the main topic. In the meantime, we always like to kind of kick things off with a bit of encouragement for you guys. Because, you know what? We all need encouragement at times. Actually, some of us need more than others. I need it often. That's why I'm calling Eric all the time, but he doesn't even answer his phone anymore. That's Raul calling.
I'm just screening calls. Oh, there's that Raul again.
Yeah, I tell you. So, have you got anything in mind?
Well, you remember Jonah?
Jonah, let's see. It has something to do with fishing.
Kind of. I don't know if you ever met him. Cool guy. No, I know. Okay, Jonah, Old Testament. So the story of Jonah, Raul, is pretty cool because Jonah is called to go to Nineveh and to proclaim God in Nineveh, to call them out into repentance.
I remember the story.
Yes. But the thing is Jonah didn't want to go. He said, God, don't send me to Nineveh. Don't send me to those people.
Yes.
And it just got me to thinking about how in today's society we can have this Jonah mentality where we can say, God, don't send me to those people,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. or God, would you save my neighbors that are to the left of me, but not the neighbors that are to the right of me because they weren't nice to me?
Yeah, yeah.
And it really is you know, because we think, okay, well, God saves the ones who are good and not the ones who are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, not at all. You know, Christ came for the ungodly, mm-hmm. for those who need him.
Mm-hmm.
So my encouragement this morning is for the men to avoid this Jonah mentality that's so easy to have where you know, it's like, oh, you know, I don't want to pray for this neighbor or this coworker or, you know, whoever it might be because they weren't nice to me. God, don't send me to them. Don't ask me to pray for them. I got this really nice person over here, and boy, that would be a great person to save, God. Let's work on this person. God has called us to, you know, to preach the gospel to all people and to be representative of him to all people. And I'll tell you, I find that when in my own life, when I tend to have this Jonah mentality, God will sometimes call me out on it and say, you know, I want you to be praying for this person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God, I don't want to pray for this person. You know what he did to me? He wasn't nice to me. Well, Eric, I want you to pray for him. But God, you know, and yeah. Okay, fine, I'll pray for him. And so what ends up happening is my heart starts changing towards that person.
Yeah.
And when my heart starts changing towards that person, you know, when my will starts to come into alignment with God's will in this situation, some amazing things start happening. It doesn't always follow that that person will start being nicer, but sometimes those small reflections of God's love through us to the other person start to be noticed,
mm-hmm.
start to be seen, mm-hmm. and relationships change. And I've seen that happen in my own life. So my encouragement for guys this morning is to recognize the fact that we all have a tendency to get that Jonah mentality and not want to bring God's word to certain people, you know, not that person.
Yes, yes. So just don't have that jaw attitude.
The jaw?
Jonah attitude.
Okay.
Jaw. Oh, whatever.
I'm lost. Okay.
The Jonah attitude.
Oh,
don't have a Jonah attitude.
It's an acronym, J-A.
Yes. Excuse me.
Okay.
For interrupting. That was good, though. I like that.
Well, thanks.
The jaw.
avoid the jaw. Are we moving on?
Are you done?
I'm done. Usually you have something that you like to say or add to it or some sort of insight.
I was sitting here. I was actually, as you saw, I was on my phone trying to get some information that I wanted to share, but it didn't come up quick enough. But I trusted you completely, and I know everything you said was right on.
You weren't even listening.
I was listening. I came up with jaw, the Jonah attitude.
All right.
So I like that. I'm going to use that. You know, there was something else I was going to use, too. You said something about this morning about
About you having bad language. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You kiss your mother with that mouth?
Yeah, you kiss your mother. I don't think I've ever heard that before. That was really good, though. Anyway, squirrel. Anyway, let's get on track here. Let's get on track. I'm going to come to this because I'm focused on this because this is something I go against the grain on what a lot of people have the tendency of doing. It probably has to do with my being through recovery for many, many years of going through myself and helping others to go through. Breaking addictions from alcoholism and drug addiction and just about anything else in a sense. But this thing about forgiveness is so huge, okay? It's something that we've all looked for and sought, you know, and that we were hoping that somebody that that was important in our lives or instrumental in our lives would either forgive us or that we would be able to forgive them for what they have done to us, okay? And forgiveness is such a vital part of our personalities and what takes place in our lives. And it's so important. The Bible talks about it, okay?
A lot.
But it's pretty precise about it. And, you know, I used to be one of those that, before I was a believer, I was in recovery, okay? And I used to think that I needed to forgive myself. That was part of my hang-up, why I couldn't go on and just keep on living and feel the freedom that some of these other people had. I kept, you know, how do you forgive yourself? And before you know it, you find people who are starting to tell you how, this is what I did to forgive myself. And, you know, whatever, no matter if it's, you know, buy yourself a gift, you know, get yourself something nice that you look at in the morning and you just forgive. All these different ways of being able to.
Stand in the mirror and look at yourself.
Yes, and say, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and these are, you know, and I attempted, I was trying to get, how do you get rid of this sort of thing? And I got to tell you, I went through a lot of years of clean and sober with that mentality that I was had forgiven myself, you know, and attempted to and thought that I had, but I really hadn't. Because these thoughts or that reoccurred at times from situations that I felt guilty about raised their ugly head. And I started feeling guilty when I started thinking about them. And I just pretend that I actually have forgiven myself. You know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so much of it is, you know, we confuse the idea of forgiveness with getting past guilt.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, I was talking with you this morning, you know, trying to do a little Google search on this topic, and just, you know, page after page of these Google searches is, you know, like how to forgive yourself, why we need to forgive ourselves, you know, forgive yourself for this reason. You know, this came up from a show that we recently did where I had Googled about, you know, what to do if you've hurt somebody.
Yep.
And, you know, so many of the responses were how to forgive yourself after you've hurt somebody.
Yep.
Pretty counterintuitive, but but it got us to thinking about, you know, this topic of forgiving yourself.
Yep.
And
yep.
So I dug deeper, you know, with Google, however deep that is. but I went through, you know, page after page of this, and so I came to the conclusion that that Buddha and Deepak Chopra and Oprah,
good pronunciation,
and Christians are all in agreement.
They're all in agreement
that we need to forgive ourselves. And I was kind of shocked by this because the Bible never actually says that I need to forgive myself.
That's shocking. You're kidding. The Bible doesn't say it? I thought I haven't come across it yet.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, you know, there's, you know, Christian website after Christian website that kept on saying it's so important to forgive yourself. And I'm like, that's not even in the Bible.
Yes.
Come on, people. But, you know, and after going through 60 different articles, I did find one Christian article that I found to be kind of
in line
with Scripture.
Yeah.
And the part of the thing with this idea of forgiving yourself is, you know, because it's man's wisdom that right. says we need to forgive ourselves. And it's that's some sort of something that needs to take place first before I can experience any joy, right? I have to forgive myself. You know, oh, I know I'm forgiven by God. Now I need to forgive myself before I can experience His joy.
Yes, yes.
Well, why? You know, because that's a real humanistic approach that somehow I'm part of the equation to being forgiven by God. You know, or that somehow that being forgiven, Raul, is based on how I feel about it, how I feel about myself. Where, you know, really, you know, like I said, we're getting the issues confused of being forgiven by God and getting past the guilt those guilt feelings that we have.
And that's really what it comes down to is that we don't want to feel what we had or have been feeling. So we think, okay. And I used to think, okay, that what I needed to do is just forgive myself, everything's going to be okay, when really what I was doing was avoiding taking care of the business I needed to take care of. I needed to humble myself to be able to actually ask someone for forgiveness, to make amends, which I was hoping that I could skip all that and just forgive myself, and then it'll be okay. Because I don't know where they live. I don't know how to get a hold of them. I don't, whatever the excuse is that is insurmountable or keeping me from being able to make contact with that individual. I was looking for the easier, softer way. You know, the easy, squeezy, say, hey, I just forgive myself. I'm going to go on about life. I couldn't. Because I kept thinking about these thoughts. And that's where people who actually cared about me said, hey, man, I don't want you to go back into that old lifestyle. You better deal with business. I care about you, but you better deal with business. Because I was actually trying to avoid it. I wanted to get into this la-la land of, you know, hey, I'll just forgive myself. It's going to be okay. And, you know, and others will just forgive me because they'll understand and da, 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 whatever. No. I was avoiding having to do the hard, crucial work of asking for forgiveness, making amends, okay? That was just huge. And I would end up feeling guilty for not doing it, and it just keep coming up, and there's a reason for it, right? And so what you do is out of sight, out of mind. So you just avoid anything that brings you to that relocation once again that made you feel that way.
Yeah, so. Well, and the reason that we feel guilty is because we have done something to incur guilt upon ourselves.
Exactly. You did something wrong.
Yeah, did something wrong. You know, but this this idea that we, you know, that we hold on to that guilt that we have, you know, when we've been set free from our sins, God doesn't hold them against us any longer.
Yes.
Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The guilt has been laid upon Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
So the holding on to that guilt, you know, guilt does have its useful purpose. When I do something wrong, Raul, that guilty feeling, mm-hmm. it's a function of the conscience that I have, the Holy Spirit prompting me, saying, you know, what you're doing, what you've just done is wrong. You need to repent before me. Humble yourself and repent of this
and
sin.
So often people get confused, and I have too. Now, I'm not saying that I know have all the answers, but conviction and guilt, we think sometimes that the, you know, conviction is guilt. And so we say, oh, that's just guilt. I'm not even going to worry or look at it. No, we need to pay attention to that sort of thing and find out what it is. When we don't talk to anybody else, guess what? We come up with our own ideas of what we believe we're experiencing. And we can justify it by finding something in Scripture or avoiding Scripture altogether and just say, yeah, look, that's what that preacher said. I go, I like that. He's my next best friend, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we want to listen to Reverend E.R. Tickler.
Yeah, there you go. That's the one. Well, you know, here's one of the things on forgiveness. This is one of the things I love. This happens to be, I know some people don't like red letters. And they say, oh, come on, you know, Jesus talking through the whole word. Well, anyway, in red letters in Matthew 6, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, this is right after he gives us shows us the way of how to pray. Mm-hmm. Okay? He gives us the Lord's Prayer. Okay? And then he goes on to let us know about forgiveness. But I think Jesus might have left something out here because it doesn't say anything in here about me forgiving myself.
Well, gosh,
Matthew messed up here or something, you know? No. You know, it doesn't say anything in there about forgiving me, okay?
Yeah, not only there, Raul, but the whole rest of Scripture, at least I have not located it.
Yes. You know, it's let's take a break. Let's come back. Man, we're just beginning. I can tell you right now, we're not going to have enough time in this period of the show to be able to talk about as much as we want to talk about this sort of thing. But we got some more Scripture and a few more things to say, so stay tuned. Eric and Raul in the house, Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Sometimes you want something permanent to remember a special event, such as a groundbreaking for a new business or community park, or a monument to remember the life of a loved one. Whether it's a bench marker, bronze memorial, or a traditional stone monument, you'll find markers at the most affordable prices through Cascade Monuments. They even have special flag case memorials and keepsake urns. Shop at your convenience online by going to cascademonuments.net. Cascade Monuments. For an affordable, fitting tribute to the special places, events, and people in your life.
He knows, he knows. Every hurt and every sting, he has walked the suffering. He knows,
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, Eric and Raul. Okay, we're talking on unforgiveness. You know, the best way of being able to deal with this, I have my opinion and how I look at things, but I also know that the Word of God, when it says something, that's what I like to be able to use. Because, I mean, what are you going to do? You either believe it or you don't. Now, one of the things I do know is that there are many topics and many things that are in Scripture that you find that people disagree about, what the meaning is, okay? Mm-hmm. You're taking it out of the context, or you're not, you know, you don't know the culture at that time and how they meant and this, that, and so on and so forth. Well, throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it talks about this thing called forgiveness, okay? In, we'll start here in First John 1, okay, which says, John says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
So when God does this, when he forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness because we've asked for forgiveness, okay, how arrogant of me to think that I need to forgive myself. Oh, God's forgiven me, but I need to forgive myself. How arrogant of me.
We miss a very crucial word in that verse, and the word is all.
Thank you.
He's, you know, all unrighteousness has been wiped away. Amen. All of it. So when we are forgiven by Christ, all of it is gone. There's not a little tiny bit left that I need to forgive. Right?
Yes, that's right.
There's nothing left there to be forgiven. We are already forgiven. The idea that we need to forgive ourselves, in fact, denies the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ on the cross to forgive our sins.
Amen. Amen. And yet there's a part of us, and you know, we just don't want to have to look at something and accept something for what it is, okay? I believe that sometimes that even in the process of going through and realizing that I've caused harm, okay, and maybe that person I went to make amends and I went with the wrong motive. Now, you can actually go with the wrong motive in making amends to somebody. Go with the idea that, hey, I'm going to make amends to them, but they really caused me harm, and I'm hoping that they're going to say that they're sorry or ask for my forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And so you go to the individual and you ask for forgiveness. May not have been totally sincere because you had a motive. So that means there's a flaw in this. Well, when there's a flaw in this, guess what? That means it's broken. That means it's not going to work properly. So when you go and you make amends, they may say, you know what? Forget you, Jack. I don't, you know, whatever. I don't even want to see you again. I'm not going to forgive you. Okay. Oops. Wow. What happened there? Now, all of a sudden, you know, so God's proper timing wasn't there. Right? Mm-hmm. When I'm supposed to do that sort of thing. The other thing is that they may say, you know, I forgive you. Then that's it. And you sit there and you just look at it and wait.
And
you're waiting, wait. Yeah. Nothing happens. And they
and
say,
and so
well,
in your heart, you're like, well, I don't forgive you.
Yeah, exactly. And then you walk away from that situation. And you end up saying, oh, thank you. Say, hey, God bless you, or whatever. You know, and then you leave. Right? And then you're thinking in your head, what a jerk. Mm-hmm. Does he not know or remember how much harm he caused me?
Yeah, all these roots of bitter resentment.
I just humbled myself to him, and he didn't do nothing, you know. Hello. We're afraid to walk through and do the stuff that the Lord has asked us to do, okay? We sit there and we just think over and over again that, okay, I just have to, if I have enough time, if I do this, if I do that, it'll all be okay. Let's see, I was going to go here on Jeremiah 31:34. No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. You know, this is one place in the Bible where there's two other places I recall where God talks about that with our sins, he takes them and he throws them behind him. They no longer, I don't see them anymore. You've asked for forgiveness. I've forgiven you. I've cleansed you white as snow. You are a new creation, new being, okay? When I come, you know, heartfelt and sincere and repentant of this, right? So he throws him behind his back. In another location, he takes him and throws the sin in the deepest part of the ocean.
Yeah, that's Psalm
103. Sinks to the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay? Never to rise again. But what do we do? Oh, we have a line connected to that one. You know, I'm going to pull that thing up every now and then because that's the enemy.
Yeah, that's right. Revelation 12:10 talks about Satan being our accuser.
Yes.
The one who brings up, you know, our past and our sins and wants to, you know, go before the Father and say, look at what he has done, you know. But then we have 1 John 2:1 that says that if anyone does sin, mm-hmm. we have an advocate in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
An advocate is somebody who speaks on our behalf. So here's, you know, we have the accuser. Satan wants to bring up all these past sins, right? And then we have Jesus.
Yes.
Who intercedes for us,
yeah.
and comes to our defense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Ooh, I get goosebumps.
Yeah. You know, and so often we end up wanting and thinking that there needs to be more. And what it comes down to is that, I mean, if I were to look in the mirror, I mean, seriously, I'm looking at the enemy. I really am. My own pride will keep me from doing the things that are necessary. And I don't think it's me. I think it's circumstances or, you know, which include people that are in my life or maybe not in my life because I choose them not to be in my life any longer for whatever reason, probably because they haven't forgiven me, you know. so that's a big part of it, you know. My point is that I have to be willing to just die to self over and over mm-hmm. and over again. It's not about me getting past this or now I can get my piece of the pie. Or now I'm my arm's longer, I can grab that brass ring as we encircle, you know, come near it and stuff. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. It's about making things right with everyone that is in our life, even if they're no longer of this world. Because I can still ask for forgiveness through our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody that is no longer here, I tell you what a freedom that is.
Yeah.
What a freedom.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the forgiveness that we have in Jesus, is that we are forgiven for everything, whether it's past, present, or future sin. All is forgiven. And just like, you know, we talked about in 1 John 1:9, that the confession is so important in this. You know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
So the confession is so important because it keeps us in communion with the God who has forgiven us.
Yeah.
One thing that comes to my mind about this idea of self-forgiveness is sometimes we think that what I have done is just too big for God to forgive.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and so, you know, for that, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 6. And it says, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God."
Amen. And that's 1 Corinthians what?
That's 1 Corinthians 6 verses, where are we at? 9 through 11.
1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. There you go. Highlight that one in your Bible. Let's take a break. We're going to come back, continue on. We might even throw a little of our own experiences, but I think the Word of God is doing just fine. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
There are a lot of frustrations in any given day, and you can't do much about most of them. But one frustration you can eliminate is unreliable or sluggish internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. They would love to help you gain reliable, super quick internet service for your home or business. Get a free estimate from StarTouch and learn more about their services at StarTouch.com.
let me return to you again. And Lord,
back, man. Welcome back. So there's no sin that cannot be forgiven by God.
Nope, you can't out-sin His grace.
It just is not able to happen. And in our own experiences, if you have not listened to others' testimony, you need to spend more time with some other brothers to be able to hear some of the miracles that have taken place in their lives when you find out more about them. It's okay to ask somebody, say, how did you end up coming to Christ? You know, ask them. Not everybody was just raised in a Christian household, you know. And even if they were, that doesn't mean everything was so peachy, okay?
Yeah.
So there is a reason why we come and finally submitted and surrendered to Jesus, because we knew that our way was no longer working. So my point being is that there are men out there that can share some of their experiences with you, where you can sit back and listen to how God was glorified in their life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That what He can do in their life, He can definitely do in yours, and even greater if necessary. But we have the Bible that gives us plenty of examples on that, right?
Well, we do. And I think about the Apostle Paul, who was guilty of convicting the Christian saints there. Yes. In the first century. He was standing over their executions, giving approval.
Stephen. On the stoning?
Yep, giving approval to what was going on. So, you know, it doesn't ever say that Paul himself was throwing stones, but he was guilty of murder.
Right.
He was guilty of murdering the saints. Now,
accessory.
an accessory to murder. And here he is. He meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he's called to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And through all this, he becomes a Christian. He comes to know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of the Old Testament, and he submits himself to that.
Yes.
Well, now he has the stumbling block, I guess you could say, of the fact that he used to be the one who gave approval to their execution.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a huge thing, you know. But he realizes that he is completely forgiven. You know, Paul, you'll find in Paul's writing all over the place about the complete and total forgiveness of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Paul's response to the fact that that he has this sinful past is, he writes it in Philippians 3:13-14, where I'll paraphrase a little bit. He says that he has not achieved perfection. And then he writes, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Mm. Now notice, nowhere in there does he say, "This one thing I do, forgiving myself so that I can press forward."
Yeah.
He doesn't say anything like that.
Yeah.
What he says is, forgetting what lies behind, I press on.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's something about the idea of thinking, and it comes in, I want to say, naturally, because our nature is of evil, okay? It is of being able to look for our own comfort and our own well-being and everything about us. Okay, mm-hmm. I mean it's a fallen world, and because of the sin, okay, that had taken place, this is the world we have to live in. But Jesus gives us an opportunity to be able to live in this world and not be of this world, okay, and to be able to let others know that there is hope, and that hope is in being able to let others know that there is reconciliation, there is redemption. Okay, that there is a way, and that way is only through Jesus Christ. actually God the Father, but only through Jesus Christ. Okay? There's only one way to God.
Amen. Okay? Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned before Psalm 103, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you were going to...
I'm not there now. If you're okay. there, go for it.
Yeah, well, I've got a couple of them in here. Psalm 103 is really good about this. And I'm going to... There's two areas I'm going to just read here real quick. Psalm 103, starting at verse 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. So he forgives all your sins. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't
say, that word again, all.
It doesn't say, yes, that's an A-L-L. There's not a bad sin or a gooder sin or whatever. It's all of them, okay? And then you go down to verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us accordingly to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, as far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Okay.
So then again, it brings up the question of how do I forgive myself of a sin that is as far as the east is from the west and buried in the deepest part of the sea? I have to go fishing, or I got to hop in an airplane and try and go catch up to that sin.
Yeah.
You know,
let's catch up. He go any faster so we can get from the left to the right or east to the west, whatever it is. You know, the deal is that that's impossible. It's just not going to happen. There's only one that can happen with, and that's our Lord, because nothing is impossible for him. And you can fish all you want, but the deepest part of the ocean is pretty deep. And where that sin is exactly, you're not going to know. Here's the deal. It really comes down to it is that I need to remember that I'm not so much in, I'm in fear is what it is. I'm in fear. I'm in fear of what is it that I really have to do? Do I really have to either just accept this and let it go? Paul talked about it. He says, put behind you the things of what has taken place in the past, okay? And especially when you've asked for forgiveness and you've received it, because how do you know you received it? Because our word says, if you come to him and you ask for forgiveness and repent and turn of that, you are forgiven.
Yeah.
You are forgiven. That's the word of God. That's him speaking to you and to me. And when that is, then you leave that behind you and you move forward. Okay. Now, mind you, it's not that simple, because if there's in that sin that you need to take care of the business, making amends, okay, or repairing, or reconciling, whatever that might be, you do that, okay, and then you end up moving forward, but you don't stay stuck there. You don't go back to that.
And there's something that you've already touched on before, but the fact is that we don't physically forget what it is that we've done. We retain the memory of that. So what do we do with that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've talked about fellowship a little bit already. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God.
Amen. Amen.
The things, Raul, that we have gone through and that Jesus has forgiven us for, we now have a story.
Mm-hmm.
We have a testimony. Mm-hmm. We have a way to help somebody who is going through something similar.
Yes. Yes.
Or, you know, if I'm in fellowship and somebody is going through something, I might know somebody who's, you know, going through or has gone through the same thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I can, you know, get them to talk to each other. You know, the things that we've gone through aren't for no purpose whatsoever. You know, we've gone through trials, we've gone through testing, and, you know, and these things are things that develop perseverance within us. And it also gives us, you know, that story so that we can help people from the help that we ourselves have received.
Mm-hmm.
The forgiveness that I have for something,
mm-hmm.
I can show somebody that road.
Amen. And you give away what you've received. That's really what it ends up taking place. In a
yes.
sense. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Believe it or not, God allows certain things to take place in your life for a reason, even things that are uncomfortable. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
Day after day, our God is reigning. He's never shaken. My hope is in the Lord. Time after time, our God is faithful, trustworthy Savior. My hope is in the Lord.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Eric and Raul in the closing moments here of the show, talking on unforgiveness.
Self-forgiveness.
Self-forgiveness. But it is unforgiveness in the sense that we look at it sometimes. And I made a statement just before we went to the break of saying that, you know, God allows Satan to have his way with us sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did with a few people, right?
Job. Have
Job
you considered
was one.
My servant Job?
Yes. Can you imagine being Peter when Jesus looked at Peter and says, I'm going to have Satan have it sift you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to pray for you. What? I mean, wait.
Yeah, that would make you cringe.
Oh, gosh. You know, you'd sit there and you just go, oh, my goodness, you know, you're just going to pray for me? That's it? Why don't you just stop him, you know? Bring your angels down and slam him, whatever. But the fact is that he does allow certain things, allows everything to take place in our lives.
Yeah, he is sovereign over everything.
Everything. But he allows them for a purpose. And sometimes this guilt that keeps coming up, or this idea of thinking that we have to worry about forgiving ourselves because we don't want to do the work at hand, God allows us, Satan, to have his way with us by hammering us, making us feel guilty. God's really allowing it to take place because there's probably some unfinished business. And the mm-hmm. best way to get that taken care of, brother, is to communicate with another brother. And one that has probably doing similar to what in 2 Corinthians that you talked about someone who's already been there and can help guide me through walking through this. See, we need fellowship. And as men, we want to isolate. We don't want people to know our weaknesses. I don't want to be able to tell people they'll take advantage of me. That's the reason you need to have fellowship. Yeah. Because you're doing it in a manner that's going to take you forever and ever and ever to be able to make life right. You may never, ever get it right.
Yeah, it won't work. We're not designed to be Lone Ranger Christians
at all. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, you know, how God uses these things that we go through in order to draw him closer to us. You know, you hear that that phrase, oh, God won't give you more than you can handle. Lie. He does give you more than we can handle. It draws us to him.
That's
if I never had anything more than I could handle, why would I go to God?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, God, I got this on my own. If I could forgive myself, why would I ever seek God's forgiveness?
Amen. That's the whole bottom. That's the bottom line on this whole thing. Because, see, we are the God. With a little G.
Yeah, we want to make ourselves out to be God. Yeah.
We don't need to go to God. I don't want to have to praise him. I don't want to have to go to church. I don't want to have to do small group. I'll let my wife take care of the kids. She's handling them. She's doing a good job. I don't need to be part of all of that. So we make ourselves our own God. It might be a little God. I'm not as big as a big God, but you know, I'm my own little God. I got this all handled. It's taken care of. You do? Come on, man. You know it's driving you nuts. You know there's a part of you that just wants the easy, softer way out, but there's not one. The easier, softer way is Jesus. And it's going to be challenging. And it's going to take every part of you to be able to be willing to submit and surrender to God on a daily basis so that he can have his way with you. Okay? And in doing so, why wouldn't we want to be able to do that? Just a reminder, we're eternal beings. That means eternity. And what we do on this earth will determine where we're going to spend eternity. I mean, it really is. I mean, some stupid, idiotic things that I want because it's going to make me feel better. It's going to make me feel better about myself, and it's going to give me pleasure. It's going to give me all these things that I comfort and things that I really want on this world. Well, guess what? Eternity is eternal.
Eternal. It's forever.
Ongoing. Yeah. And so, you know, here's the deal. If you're not even sure whether you've accepted Jesus, now's the time. Now's the time to be able to just humble yourself and let him know of your sins. Yes, he is God. He knows them. But yes, humble yourselves and let him know. Turn away from that and let him know you're willing to do that. And as a result of that, brother, he's going to forgive you of your sins. And he's going to say, come on in. He's knocking at the door. And so all you have to do is open it up. He's not going to push it open. You have to open it.
And then tell a friend of the decision you've made so that you can begin on that road of fellowship, because we are not meant to do this by ourselves.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Amen to that.
Would you pray for our brothers?
I will. Heavenly Father, I praise you that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven for all sins, Father. May we just bask in the glory of your wonderful plan for our lives. God, I pray that as men would go about this day by the strength of your might to live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother, know this. You are not alone.